Hello and welcome to the Beyond Biotech podcast number 42. And the podcast this week is sponsored by Merck. Their global network of MLab collaboration centres are your resource for designing smart solutions. Whether you're a just launched biotech venture or an established drug developer, this global network of scientific experts and innovative technologies is dedicated to helping you bring life-enhancing therapeutics to more patients, more efficiently, with more confidence. I'm Jim Cornell from The Biotech, and as fans of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy know, 42 is the answer to the universe. That was really big when I was in school, but I have to confess I was more interested in sports and music. So for me, 42 meant Level 42 and Jackie Robinson. Anyway, 42 has no real meaning for the podcast other than a number and the fact that I've not messed up yet and skipped a number or repeated one. I guess the most important word there being yet. Not so much of a theme this week, but we do have three great interviews and four guests, and two of the interviews relate to upcoming events. We're talking about the upcoming Lund Spring Symposium in Sweden with Klaas Wallerstedt, who is the Leonard M. Miller Professor and Director of the Center for Therapeutic Innovation and Associate Dean for Therapeutic Innovation at the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine. We'll also talk about the Meet to Win event in Bordeaux in France with Lucia Robert, CEO of MatWin, which stages the event. And then we have an interview with two people, Andrew Clutterbuck and Mark Peacock from Merck. And so now it's time for the news you may have missed over at labiotech.eu. We had an article on whether artificial intelligence can predict future pandemics. Ghana became the first country to approve the University of Oxford's malaria vaccine, and Air Therapeutics raised $36 million to tackle lung diseases. A Swedish bacterial resistance study could pave the road to new antibiotics. Complement Therapeutics raised €72 million for its eye condition gene therapy, and we had a story on gene therapy for haemophilia B. We had an opinion piece on pharmacovigilance, an interesting study on nanocages and how they can deliver small interfering RNAs, and Forbion raised €1.35 billion to invest in life science companies. We had an updated article on how vaccine platforms can prepare us for future pandemics, wound treatments might benefit from a new color-changing dressing, and the FDA approved Genentech's lymphoma drug. We had an article on six of the top biotech companies in South San Francisco. Orphalan announced the US launch of a drug to treat Wilson disease. And you can read all of these and plenty more at labiotech.eu. So now let's get to this week's guests. And first, we're going to hear about Meet to Win, an event taking place next month in Bordeaux, France. It's hosted by MatWin, which is an acronym for Maturation and Accelerating Translation with Industry. And to tell us about the upcoming event is MatWin CEO, Lucia Robert.
Okay, so MatWin is a European partnering convention fully dedicated to oncology. We will organize the 8th edition in Bordeaux on May 11 and 12th. And the idea of this event is really to offer access to a wide range of participants, pharma companies, biotechs, young entrepreneurs, investors, but also clinicians, researchers in the field, with the objective of optimizing their collaboration opportunities. So it's a really human-sized event, but fully dedicated to the fight against cancer. And we offer during 2 days the opportunity to access to both conferences, thematical workshops, exhibition area, but also many pitchy sessions, and of course, many, many B2B meetings opportunity, as the event will offer 1,500 face-to-face opportunities during the 2-day event.
And this is the eighth event. Have there been many changes, or has it grown much over the years?
Yeah, the audience has grown, but the idea is always to offer focus on major trend in innovation in oncology and offer access to diverse pitching session and so on. So it's quite interesting because the audience and the program is various all along the 2 days.
Does it attract people from just within France, or is it a European event?
No, it's really a European event, more and more European attendees each year, even if the majority of the participants are French speaking. But each year we have many people coming from Belgium, Switzerland, Spain, England, some from Italy. So it's quite interesting because it's focused and human-sized and really well organized to offer real opportunities of networking.
And is it always in Bordeaux?
Yes, it's always in Bordeaux. Being organized not in a big city like Paris is a real opportunity to optimize networking opportunities.
Are there any highlights for this year's event?
So we organize the agenda around three main roundtables. The first one is focused on what we call major future trends in oncology. So the idea in this first roundtable is to give access to the main type of innovation in the oncology field. So we will speak for sure about personalized cancer prevention, but also about new cancer immunotherapy strategies. We will also have a speaker with an experience on tumor avatars, but also all the scope of innovation coming from driven by artificial intelligence. And then we will have a second roundtable around digitalized medicine. So the idea of the digitalization of care in the oncology field, the idea also of the need to have a secured exchange of medical data. And we will also have a last and third roundtable around how getting France more attractive for oncology innovation. And during this table, we will offer, for example, a showcase opportunity for the new French cancer clusters called Paris-Saclay Cancer Cluster, which is the French national ambition of being visible worldwide in the oncology field. Each year, we try to offer specific and various type of agenda dealing of different projects in the field.
And you also have a job seeking part of the event.
Yes, we try to connect people all together. We know that many companies are recruiting and they have difficulties to do that. So we will offer the opportunity to companies to meet people to be recruited.
And what's the location for it? I know it's in Bordeaux, but what's the actual physical
Yeah,
location?
the location is in Bordeaux. It's in the Congress Center called Cité Mondiale. It's just in the center of Bordeaux, around the river, the Garonne River. So it's quite a nice place also, really in the center of Bordeaux, and you have plenty of hotel and so on around. So it's quite an easy access, directly linked to the train station and the airport. So it's easy to come.
And are you still accepting people to the event? Can people still
Yes.
register?
Yeah, you can still register. The B2B meeting platform has opened today. So you are more than welcome to connect to the platform to start to schedule and accept your business meetings. But if you are not registered, you can still do it. It should be open until a few days before the event.
From Bordeaux and the 8th Meet to Win, we're headed to Lund in Sweden for an entirely new event. It's taking place at the University of Lund in the south of the country, a city that's a hotbed of biotech and biopharma. To tell us about the new event at the end of May is Klaas Wallerstedt, who talks to us from Miami about the new event.
Yes, no, it's really a symposium focusing on new drug discovery technologies and new approaches. So pharmacology. So my background is in pharmacology. I actually did my PhD in pharmacology in Lund, very classic pharmacology, very useful thing stuff, but the world has changed. This is back in the 80s, and since then, person like me and many of my colleagues, of course, got much more molecular genome oriented, and what we do today is quite different than what we did in the past. Not to say that people didn't come up with new drugs in the past, they did successfully, right? But I think we have added a lot of capabilities.
What's the reason for putting this together?
Yeah, the Department of Pharmacology in Lund, where I, as I said, where I grew up, kind of was wonderful in many ways, but it doesn't exist anymore. It has, right or wrong, been replaced by other departments, but we feel it's pharmacology as a discipline is still very important. And I'm talking pharmacology very broadly, where we also involve our many colleagues doing chemistry and all the other sciences we need to do drug discovery and development. So, and in Lund, again, we're hoping that this symposium will kind of highlight the fact that Lund has a very rich history, and that there are still many, many researchers there who are doing drug discovery and development in various shapes or forms. Also, a number of companies, of course. So we're trying to bring all these people together under the hat of new therapeutic approaches and new modalities and kind of modern pharmacology, if you will. So I think this is really good. One kind of precipitating factor was that my very dear friend Michael Dolsten and I, of course, he's the chief scientific officer at Pfizer, and I, just a year ago, we had the honor of being appointed visiting or honorary professor. So really indicating that Lund is very interested to bring us two in and maybe work with people in Lund and also rejuvenate or bring people together and offer our advice on the various projects that are going on, both academically as well as in these many smaller companies that are in Lund and around Lund and in the north of Europe in this space.
Right, I was just about to say that there's Medicon Village and there's also the university there. I mean, it's a real hotbed of biochemistry, biopharma.
No, absolutely. The large, companies when I grew up, of course, Sweden had two large pharmaceutical companies, Astra, which became AstraZeneca, and Pharmacia, that became Pharmacia Upjohn and Pharmacia, and is now part of Pfizer, of course. So the very large companies may not be there in the same to the same degree, but there are many, many, many other activities that are relevant to this business and drug discovery.
The event, is it meant to showcase just Lund and the Skåne region, or is it meant to be sort of everywhere?
I think it's a fairly unique symposium. I haven't seen many like it. Like you said, there are many other meetings around the world, but here I think we're really bringing together people who are specializing in new therapeutic modalities, and but of course with an emphasis on people who are in the region or have some connection with the regions. But having said that, we have a number of awardees and other speakers who really have no history with Lund, but still we figured would fit very well into this context.
What's the format of the event going to be? Presentations, or how is it going to run?
Yeah, no presentations, absolutely. It's different sessions, and they've put together a wonderful program, I think. I'd say we cover most therapeutic areas, and we're covering the most therapeutic modalities, from the very classic ones, small molecules, but small molecules being discovered with a lot of new tools that, of course, we didn't have just a few years ago, but also, other types of modalities, such as biologics, antibodies, RNA targeted therapy, and so forth. I think we cover a lot of ground in this meeting. Everybody who comes will probably be very happy with the breadth of the meeting, if you will.
And you've got lots of keynote speakers from not just from the university, but from, you know, Pfizer and from Vanderbilt, I see. So lots of...
People who have pioneered, you know, various therapeutic modalities, I think, or drug delivery also, right? I mean, so really pioneering new approaches that we didn't have a few decades ago, of course, when I left. But again, the beauty is not to forget the old stuff, right? The old science and the classic, you know, animal models and cell models can still be very useful. But integrating and making even better animal models of disease, of course, based with on the new discoveries, but of cell models for disease. So a lot of things being integrated into the symposium, I think.
And there's also awards as well. What are the awards related to?
Yeah. So this is, the awards are for events for various really superstars in a given discipline. So I'm afraid to forget anybody now. So we have a number of awards that we came up with. This symposium is modeled a little bit upon, you know, another symposium I worked on a number of years now called the Miami Winter Symposium. That has been held, you know, every year for 56 or 57 years now, I think, with a short break for the pandemic, of course, but otherwise. And that's a little bit of a similar model, but there the theme would differ every year. But we have awardees and speakers, you know, awardees would kind of open up a given session and then the other speakers have something to do with that, the work of that awardee. And now we're starting this Lund Spring Symposium. So hopefully this will become something, a yearly event, or at least every 2 years. We still haven't quite decided on that. But hopefully this will be, you know, not a one-off event, but something that people like and we will continue doing. And of course, trying to gather people from all over. So, and we have really... The attendees will really be coming from many places in Scandinavia and but many other countries too, of course.
What's the interest been like in it so far?
Yeah, I know what I hear. It's going to be at capacity. So this is the in-person meeting, which I still think has a lot of attraction to many people after the pandemic. So to the best of my knowledge, we're not offering any hybrid variants. So it's going to be... in-person meeting. I think it's the capacity is, I think, 250 people due to, you know, that's the biggest auditorium we have in Lund. I think it's going to be sold out and if it isn't already. So,
oh, that's good.
We'll get there. Yeah.
Well, it's good, a good sign for the first one, though, that it's so already got lots of interest. So.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
And it's a three-day event. I guess it's not three full days.
No, 2.5 days, is it? Yeah.
Right. And is it at the university?
Yes, it's right, you know, immediately, very, very close to the main university building, right in the center of Lund. So, great location, you know. Nice time of year, of course. The end of May is a beautiful time to be in Lund.
Are there going to be any other sessions, like poster sessions, or are there any exhibitors?
Yeah, a little bit, you know. I think that's something some posters for sure. You know, the fundraising was kind of successful, so therefore they didn't need any sponsors. But I think in the future, that's definitely a great idea. If you can bring in, you know, sponsors. But I think that adds a lot to the meeting, actually.
Next, we have two guests from Merck to discuss how collaborations within the biopharma and pharma industry have evolved and how they are now essential in addressing technical challenges, manufacturing best practices, and can be considered a key contributor to what drives innovation. So, I guess the first thing is to introduce yourselves.
I'm Andrew Kosovic. I'm a director of our MSAC group based in Morsheim in France.
And I'm Mark Peacock. I'm the Associate Director for Customer Applications, and I'm heading up our Emerging Biotech team here in EMEA.
So I guess the first question then relates to the pandemic insofar as how did the pandemic heighten the need for collaboration, and what kind of collaboration did we see during the pandemic that we wouldn't necessarily have seen outside of that context of a global crisis, I guess?
I guess the pandemic changed the ways of working for a lot of people. So not only in our industry, but across the board. You know, we had just completed the MLab in Molsheim. So we just opened the doors. We had the grand opening. We were open for a couple of months. It really changed how we interacted with customers. You know, we had to do a lot of virtual interactions. We invested a lot in digital tools. But collaboration was still there. You know, we still have to work with customers. We still have to achieve our end goals. We have to support technology, troubleshoot, train, you know, all of the good stuff that comes from an MLab. So the collaboration didn't stop. It just changed. Thankfully, we're moving back to a more normal circumstances at the moment. You know, we all love these face-to-face interactions, and that's exactly what the space was designed for, to bring people in and to bring them together.
And maybe just to add to that, Andy, as well, you know, for some of our customers, that really did advance the science, you know, in terms of the approach and the models. You know, we saw with the vaccines how quickly things progressed through the clinical trials and the studies to give us a vaccine at the end. And I think that was really exciting that through a very challenging time and through a lot of that collaboration, the speed there was tremendous.
You know, and during the pandemic, with all of the vaccine work, everybody felt like they were contributing as well, which was really important. So it really did turn us into a community, all fighting or aiming for one goal. You know, the collaboration came from many, many forms in this time.
Do you think that that also kind of set a bit of a template for future reference? Should the same thing, I mean, let's hope it doesn't ever happen again, but do you think it set a template?
Difficult to say at this time. You know, we're just starting to get back to normal. I hope so. You know, I think people have seen the value of working very closely, of getting multiple partners involved earlier on in the process. So, you know, it's kind of a win-win. You know, we achieved, you know, the vaccine in record time, and perhaps that could be done in the future with other therapeutics. So I only see it as a positive.
In terms of the post-pandemic landscape, what are some of the learnings, and specifically, are there any trends regarding process development and manufacturing?
You know, we're going to carry on the way we are with some of our remote tools. I think this brings us to our customers much faster. You know, we want to extend the walls of the lab. So we're also looking at developing ways of bringing people in with things like virtual tours, with videos, with podcasts, with YouTube videos. So all of these new tools are becoming available to us. And I think it will continue. We'll have this kind of hybrid approach moving forward.
And if you think about some of the perhaps smaller organisations, in particular sort of the startups and the emerging biotech organisations, they were really challenged during that pandemic period. From a resource point of view, those challenges around the resources getting into the lab space with such clearly focused teams, and you know, these new ways of working to again help drive that engagement very early on into that process development. You know, where can we support early and help refine the process from an earlier time point? Just trying to see how we can advance things quicker through that process and just give every chance to those organizations that they can move quickly into the clinical path.
And it's a very good point with the emerging biotech, because having us involved earlier on, we can bring that kind of more commercial eye. We can help with the development to ensure it's manufacturing ready. So when it moves through the phases, it moves towards a more commercial product. It's more suitable to go directly into manufacturing. So, you know, to try and save problems further down the line, the earlier we can be involved, the better.
Are there any other challenges and opportunities that you see that emerging companies are facing currently?
I think the same as everybody. It's resources, and it's trying to find out where to spend your time. You know, there's only so many hours in the day, only so many people working on projects. So, you know, how can you best maximize your time? Working with us, working in the MLab, you know, we can bring some additional resource there. But, you know, this is a challenge across the board. How do you apply your resource at the right point in time?
We know from the market that funding is competitive. Investors perhaps have a different outlook in this space as well compared to where they were pre-pandemic. We can support that, right? We can hold people by the hands. We can hold organizations by the hands from that very early phase, cell line development work, right through to final formulation, and see, you know, what what areas of expertise that we need to focus on, that we need to home in on, that gets that emerging biotech company where they need to be to get things to clinic, to make them attractive for that next part of the journey. And that could also be related to the regulatory environment. How can we support there in terms of having a process that is well developed, that is scalable and fit for purpose, that makes it attractive for that next move as well?
I'm guessing that when you are working with companies, there are no two of them are the same in terms of their needs.
The landscape is very dynamic and very diverse, I would say, Jim, to support our customers. They all have individual needs, and that can depend on the type of application that the customer is working with, the kind of modality, and you know, also the geographical area that they're working as well. So we really aim to support across those diverse applications to bring sort of the best solutions there and help guide to the best of our abilities and extensive resources that we have.
And you know, the stronger we can build the collaboration, the more we can learn from our customers, the more they can learn from us, and the more successful we'll both be. So it really is a case of tailoring what we can bring in terms of support to the individual project or problem or customer. So, you know, having collaboration, having openness, having frank dialogue and discussions, you know, this is all really key to success.
I'd say that's really respected by our customers as well, right? You know, we continue to challenge them. We give them fresh perspective. We help them with how the market is moving as well to really support and accelerate their particular molecule through that journey as well. So I'd say that two-way model that we have is, you know, really helping them understand how they can grow as an organization and how they can set themselves up for success in the long term.
And I guess something that Andrew just mentioned there as well, when it's a two-way street, because you're constantly learning as well, and you constantly have to evolve to a changing landscape as well as changing regulatory landscape. The whole thing is always changing.
Absolutely. You know, you'd have thought 3 years ago that mRNA would be the new hot molecule to be working on. You know, this was an opportunity for us to build additional capabilities, build additional knowledge within the team, and to support across all of the different modalities as well. You know, historically, we've been very focused on monoclonal antibodies and recombinant proteins. So for us, you know, it's involved a change. It's a change. It's involved a lot of learning. It's required investments. You know, we've really had to invest in the team, in their knowledge, their learnings, just so that we're capable to, you know, support moving forward.
As far as the future goes, obviously you can't predict everything, but where do you go from here?
That's a really interesting question, because we can't predict the future, but we do have to plan for it. You know, so any investments we make, any capabilities we build, you know, they all take time. You know, it could be a couple of months, quick investment, or it could be several years in the future. So again, learning from our customers, these deep collaborations, understanding where they see themselves in a few years' time as well. This can all feed back into our strategy for the labs. This can feed back to how we structure our team and how we can structure our support. So no crystal ball, but again, it's learning, and it's having the diversity of working with multiple customers to see those industry trends.
If I draw on some of the experience that we've had with our current customer base that we're working with, we really sort of see those examples where customers are coming in very early phase. They're looking for some guidance and support. And, you know, those facilities that Andrew mentions, you know, really acting as that hub to start that collaboration. So, you know, when we're sort of having customers walk through the door, they perhaps don't even know what they quite need or what they quite can expect from us at that given time. And I would say, you know, that helps us understand as an organization where we need to build that agility and that capability within our skill set, within the teams. We're talking about those early conversations to really help guide and support. And then that much deeper technical expertise that we also can bring to the table and guide thereafter as well. Yeah, we're always looking at, you know, where the market is heading. And, you know, today we see huge strides in that ATMP space with the novel modalities and in the new wave of novel molecules. And it's how we can continue to use our strengths and as an organization to support, you know, holistically across the process as well.
We've already started some of these investments. So in Molsheim, we've just built the upstream laboratory to support cell culture media and some of the more upstream development activities. We're looking at novel modalities. How do we bring in some of these more exotic molecules? You know, how do we bring in lentivirus, adenovirus, or AAV into the laboratory? This is all things we had on the roadmap, which may have been accelerated over the past couple of years, but are things that we know that these are coming. You know, this is what the industry is asking from us. Again, going back to this holistic process support, we want to do that across all modalities in the future.
And I guess you must have a range of companies that you work with, from long-standing customers right the way through to startups and people that you're just working with for the first time.
Yeah, every day is different. So every customer is different. Yeah, absolutely. From startups, from virtual companies, all the way through to some of the biggest players in biotech. We have projects, we have collaborations with all of them.
All right, well, that's it for today's podcast. And so just a reminder that the podcast this week was sponsored by Merck. Their global network of MLab collaboration centers are your resource for designing smart solutions. Whether you're a just-launched biotech venture or an established drug developer, this global network of scientific experts and innovative technologies is dedicated to helping you bring life-enhancing therapeutics to more patients, more efficiently, with more confidence. And so that's it for another podcast. Next week's will be the last in April, and then we're into the month with the most awareness days and awareness month in the whole year, and that's May. Along with all the events, that's going to mean a busy month. This weekend's forecast is for rain, which is typical, 5 cloudless days and nice temperatures, and then 2 days off, it's rain and cold. And while I enjoy working at home, at the weekend I do want to be somewhere different, but not looking good this week. Anyway, thanks a lot for joining us, and I hope wherever in the world you are that you have a great week ahead, that you'll take care and join us next week for another Beyond Biotech.